you're supreme. Raiders of resale, living the dream. From whatnot to eBay, we score the loot. Vintage finds in every pursuit. Tips of cash in, story so grand. Reselling Raiders.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Raiders of Reselling podcast live from the Hat House. I'm Hat House, joined by Coach Porch and Fired Up Vines.
There he is, tonight, right there.
Yeah, tonight, we're going to deep dive into me getting suspended. I got suspended on Poshmark. I'll talk about why and kind of my theories of what I might have done to cause that.
Bad boy.
Yeah, we always want to hear from you guys, though. If you're over on the Facebooks, the Instagrams, if you're out there anywhere but YouTube, I need you to get over to YouTube and get in the comment section, because we have giveaways and we're going to run those giveaways every single week, and our members get an automatic entry into the giveaway. So don't forget that. Really appreciate the members out there, and we've had some pretty cool giveaways so far. Well, we've had a hat shaper, Tampa Bay Bucks hat, and then a brand new spider hat. We've had some good ones, and I think we've got another good one in store this week, right, Rob?
I think we do.
It's going to be good. Also, got to appreciate everybody out in podcast land. We are the number one rated reselling podcast with an E on it. So,
dude, that pumps me up so much, boys.
I know. I had to find out what we were number one in, and the explicit is the number one area.
Thank you.
So, we really appreciate that. If you guys can give us a 5-star review, we really appreciate that. And if you can, a 5-star review with comments would be even better, because we have some 5-star reviews, but not all of them have comments. But we appreciate everybody taking the time to do that. And also, this is brought to you ad-free because we have a sponsor. And who's our sponsor this week?
Well, sir, here at Reselling Raiders, we dig through garages, basements, and back seats like treasure hunters on a mission. But let's be honest, some of those vintage smells, they should have stayed buried. That's why we trust and are sponsored tonight by Poo-Pourri, the only spray that keeps your bathroom smelling like a spa, even after taco night and a 12-hour yard sale. It's like Febreze and Gandalf had a baby, and that baby cast a magical spell on your toilet. Spritz before you sit, and no one has to know you dropped a clearance bomb. Poo-Pourri, because some deals stink, but you don't have to. Now let's get back to the show, where we sniff out bargains, not bathrooms.
Poo-Pourri! Hey, Poo-Pourri! Thank you, thank you.
Poo-Pourri, you are the real hero.
Yeah, dude.
I've never actually used it. Do you have it sitting on your toilet, Fired Up?
I gotta be honest, I need to. Ask Amanda. I need to.
I tell you what, I have it. It works. And they have these little tiny ones. They're about this tall, little fat round things like a big old giant chapstick you could take with you. And when you're at work, you could, nobody knows you're in there.
Portable Poo-Pourri. Yeah. They don't know you're in there?
Well, I mean, they know you're in there.
Well, I mean, Rob obviously stands up on the toilet seat and crouches like, our ancestors.
It's Eastern style.
Hidden dragon or something.
Yeah.
The thing is, at home, it'd be nice because, Amanda doesn't yell at me. Everything's fine and dandy. Now, at the firehouse, it takes away all the fun of dropping a massive deuce. Because, well, like, yeah, I mean, I want the men to be like, bro, that's horrible. You know, like the more horrible, the better, because it's just that funny.
I would tell you the best place to actually travel with it is on an airplane.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that can get embarrassing.
Yeah, that's confined spaces there.
Is that the one thing in this world that embarrasses you, Mike?
No, because I usually walk out with my chest held high. You know what I mean? Proud of it. But
no matter where it is.
Yeah, I could see how it could be embarrassing, though. You know?
Poopery. Thank you. Yeah.
Logic, what's up, baby? What's up,
Logic?
Welcome, everybody, to the chat. Really appreciate y'all being here. We got Quirky Quest Treasures. We've got Donnie. We got Logic Z. Good to see you guys. Look forward to seeing y'all on the wheel. Were you gonna make them guess of what the giveaway was?
Oh, Rob? I was saving it, but
do you want to wait till the end?
I can show the peeps. No, we can blast it out real quick.
Okay.
Yeah, dude.
It's gonna be a yellow red cup. From Buc-ee's. Oh,
dude. That's legit, dude. That's a really good. That is a super solid cup too. Like that is a great.
It's a UConn Outfitters.
Yeah, those are like legit.
I have one. Yeah,
30-ounce Freedom tumbler.
Dude, hey, just so the chat knows and everybody listening knows, Rob took a legitimate road trip to Buc-ee's in part to get a good giveaway for the pod. So that was not a goodwill find. That is a straight from the source.
I will send it to you in the bag.
Yeah. Yeah. That is straight from the source. That is not a new tags secondhand Buc-ee's cup. That is as brand new as it possibly gets.
Deb is here. She can attest to the fact that I gave one away in my last Saturday show.
Yeah. Those are popping.
I might need to make
it a ranking. Choice between a Yeti and a Buc-ee's, and guess which one went? The Buc-ee's.
Nice.
The Buc-ee's.
Nice.
I may do a rank it at some point, but I sent y'all a couple of weeks ago, like Fox News did this thing where they had the best convenience stores on it, and Buc-ee's was ranked like number 12 or 11 or something like that, and it had Quick Trip and all these other places up above. Well, it's crazy.
I think that has a lot to do with the amount of locations, because Buc-ee's still is kind of a small cult.
Is it?
I mean, they don't have the amount of locations that Quick Trip and those others do.
Which is something that was new to me, because we have Buc-ee's pretty close to where I live, and the amount of people that don't have a Buc-ee's, you know, within a reasonable driving distance from them, it actually kind of blew my mind.
Is there a convenience store that you would rank above Buc-ee's?
No, never. No, never. Wawa comes in. I mean, Wawa comes in second, but I mean, it's a pretty distant, and Wawa's amazing, but
yeah. See, I would distant second. I would say my thing was Sheetz, but you know, once you go to Buc-ee's, it's a cult.
Yeah. Yeah. You are in a whole new world.
It's amazing.
Especially with that brisket sandwich. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Okay. Before we get to the main topic, we do need to follow up on last week a little bit, because it seems like it's been longer than that, but we haven't even talked since we had the raid train. So everybody that put their over under in on a Seattle Sonics hat, it was over barely. Yeah. $32 on that. So I wanted to let you guys know that.
I did custom bid that to $29. I want to make that known. I put my custom bid at $29 because I was like, either I'm going to get it for a steal or it's going to go over.
I can't remember. I should have looked. I don't think the person that bought it was the person that messaged me, though. I need to double check, but I don't think it was the same person. I don't think they made it in.
Well, that's going to be good incomplete on your homework, Steven.
Yeah, I know. And it was kind of, I don't whatnot very often, but I had a pretty good couple of days on whatnot. I went live the next day too, and I had a room of like 10 to 15 people. Wasn't really worried about how many people were there, but I did the flash sale thing and it worked out pretty well. I sold like 12 or 13 hats just on the flash sale in about an hour.
It was a brilliant move, Steven. I'm going to tell you, to be honest with you, I bought shit I never would have bought. And I didn't even want to buy when I was buying it. And I was like, no, I don't know why you're doing it. Click. And
it was half.
And price. Then it came on the next day after saying, I'm not even going to go on next day. There he is again. And I'm like, oh shit, yeah. I got to click again. And I'm like,
did that Wayne's World sell?
It has not sold yet. It's a really cool hat. It's an actual vintage one. A lot of people try to pass off those other ones as being vintage, but I still got that one.
You find a lot of people calling shit vintage that isn't.
Yeah. Yep. All the time, yeah. Especially on Facebook Marketplace.
I see it. Listen, I see it on Whatnot.
Anybody that doesn't do vintage, almost 10 times out of 10 times, if the tag is printed on the shirt, it is not vintage. Like, yeah, we're getting into the realm being in 2025 that like some of those printed tags had just kind of been introduced, you know, in like the 05, 06 range. So you're getting into where technically some of that, you know, is getting close, but you know, if that thing clearly says Sonic the Hedgehog and it has a little copyright symbol and 2021 right by it, not vintage, you know,
not retro. So what are, can you think of any, what are some good keywords though? If
retro, retro is a great one because retro is just, it's the vintage feel or the vintage look or the vintage video game, but it's just made. Well, today.
You're at least honoring the vintage piece.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just in a modern way.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like this shirt I'm wearing as a Spider-Man shirt is a retro. It's a retro Spider-Man shirt. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's super wet. It's not wet, dude. It's got the retro fade, dude. Got the retro fade.
On hats, it's on hats sometimes it's tough because they will have like actually vintage on the tag where it says like vintage hardwood classic or whatever.
Yeah.
And then so you put that into the title and I've been called out sometimes for putting vintage there, but it's actually kind of the style of the hat.
You will have some people that will read that, Steven, and think this really is vintage.
Right. Yeah.
And say,
oh, that's people that don't know hat. Though. Like they're just, you know what I mean? Like that's why like Amanda does it a good amount on like Depop and stuff. Well, she'll say like vintage style. You know what I mean? Like this is like a vintage style shirt or whatever.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Yeah, I'll put vintage look, vintage style, sometimes, and you still get to catch people with that keyword.
Yeah,
you may not have caught before.
But yeah, because like even those new era shark tooths, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
those are retro. Like, you know what I mean? They're like they're paying homage to, you know, like the '90s shark tooths.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. How do you think how'd your raid train go, Mike?
I think yours went better than mine, dude. I was actually, I was stoked after your set was done. I was like, you held a pretty large audience. Like the entirety of the show.
Yeah. And I think that's what I was telling you. I was like him going live. Cause the same thing happened before. So Mike raids with 70 people. Half of them are gone by the time it's time to raid Steven. And the genius move to go 15 minutes early, let people get your announcement and come to your show that maybe weren't following the raid train. But when the two came together, now we're back to 70 again.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good example is what is your show on, what was that? Tuesday or something like that, Rob, Tuesday, that you did that pop up.
Tuesday, yeah.
Yeah. And like the first 15 or 20 minutes of Rob's show, there was, you know, 15 people in there or whatever. And then after, after the first like 15 minutes or so, then, you know, I mean, you could tell that people like, you know, started checking their phones or whatever it was. And then all of a sudden it started jumping up to like the mid 30s, low 40s. And that was just for an off the cuff kind of show. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
and it's one of those things where like I always will see what's around me. So I know it kind of tells you how your show's going to go. So like going into that, I knew there were five clothing sellers with the same type of show I was getting ready to run. They had positioned themselves ahead of me, next to me, and after me. And I knew that was going to be a tough start. That show was going to start out slow as hell.
Yeah.
But by the time they got through all those obstacles and got to my show, that's when we started cooking.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I always enjoy the hat trains. They're fun. I don't think I had as good of stuff as I normally have for those shows. But that's just how the cookie crumbles. Sometimes you're not always, you're not always going to be able to, you know, you're not always going to be lucky or whatever and be able to source like some, I mean, I sold somewhere in the realm of 50 hats or so, something like that.
And that's what I did.
Yeah.
50 and 30 minutes is,
yeah, moving. which I think was that your first show doing, the 10 and 3 second, like the 10 second and three. So like that is another thing as well. So I don't know. And I didn't know everybody on the Ray Train. I didn't recognize, you know, some of the guys, but there was a guy that I watched for a little bit. Maybe, I don't know how many sellers prior. I don't even know his name either, but, and you could tell maybe he was like a newer guy, but you know, he's doing 30 second initial timers and, for it being the like, Ray Train.
Was that like two after Steven?
Yeah, oh yeah, maybe it was after. It was somewhere in the show.
I remember something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I know what you're talking about.
That guy being in the Ray Train obviously helped the viewership doing a 30 second timer. You know what I mean? Because people are kind of already there. So you're gonna hold at least a little bit of a viewership. But like, dude, you do that on, you know, just a normal like not community wide type of event, like, you know, that, I mean, even for me, like as a viewer, I'm out, you know, like there's no way I can possibly sit there and wait basically a minute for one thing to run because it's 30 seconds, somebody bids, it's 10 seconds, you know what I mean? So you only need three bidders and then now you're at a minute, you know what I mean? And so that's, you know, that's just far too long. The 10 second, I do 15. I'm probably going to go down to 10 because I liked how Stevens went so much. But the 10 or 15 initial seconds and then having a 2 to 3 second counter bid time, if you're not going to do sudden death, is by far the best way to do it. Because on the short counter bid time, you get a lot of the benefit of having a counter bid, but you also get the benefit too of it being a sudden death like pace of a show where things are just coming at you rapid fire, but you're still given those two or three people that little bit of time to bid it up another 2, 3, 4, 5 swipes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
I would say, for one second.
Go ahead.
I don't know if everybody understands exactly what we're talking about here. So we're talking 10 and 3, a 10 second time to auction the item, and then a 3 second counter bid. So when it gets down to the very end, you have 3 seconds to bid at the end. And if somebody bids, it adds 3 seconds, and it's only adding 3 seconds. I just want to make sure.
And it never goes above that 3 second mark. You know what I mean? So like if you bid at 3 seconds and then I bid at 2 seconds, it just goes right back to three. Keeps going right back to three. So that way you're always, you know, you're staying 3 seconds and it's done. Versus like I was saying earlier, how if Steven were to bid on something that Rob is selling at 1 second and he has a 10 second reset time, that timer goes all the way back to 10 seconds. And then you another buyer or whatever has 10 seconds to bid on that item. And then if he does any time between 10 and zero, it goes back to 10. So you can see how, and there's a lot of people that do it because everybody tries to snipe, right? But you can't snipe if there's a counter, if there's a reset. You know what I mean? Right. There's only real sniping happens when it's a sudden death. But when you do a 10 second, you can see how two or three people that want this shirt or hat or whatever in the world that you're selling will end up having to wait, you know, 10, you know, or like a minute or more for the whole thing to be done. And it's just a very slow pace on a platform with a meta of, you know, like in your face, grip and rip, you know, just like we're knocking them out. You know what I mean? Those are always, if you go and look at all of the top guys, and it's not just in the vintage, it's not just in hats, it's not just in golf. If you go look at luxury, storage units, anything, they are all almost across the board 10 second sudden deaths or a 10 second, maybe even 15 with a very short freaking counter.
Right. But what I would say to that, Mike, is use the 5 seconds. And here's why. When you have the 3 seconds, if somebody doesn't realize it right away, or if they think for 1 second, they don't have the time to pop a custom bid in before it's over. It's even happened to me, and I'm really pretty fast if I want something. So I would suggest the 5 second bounce back versus the 3 second one.
But they
either
had the
10 or 15 the starter doesn't really seconds. Matter to me because, yeah. Either 10 or 15 doesn't really matter to me because nobody really bids till 10 seconds anyway. You can set it 12 minutes. Nobody will bid till 10 seconds.
Yeah. Right. I mean that's even true in eBay auction. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I have some designer ties that are on eBay auction right now, and they're going to sit there at that, you know, initial bid or the two or three bids that have already happened on it. And it's going to sit there for the next 3 days. It's been a 7-day auction, but it's going to sit there for the next 3 days until the last, you know, 5 minutes or whatever. Yep. And then that's when you're going to start seeing, you know, it tick up. So, you know,
finality to it.
Yeah. I think it just depends on the, you know, the pace at which you want to run your show. And, well, you can work 3 seconds to 5 seconds. Yeah.
You can work down. If you started out your show 10 seconds with a 5 bounce and then like quarter of the way through it, say, hey, okay, we're going to speed this up a little bit. I'm going to just do a 3 second rebound. People get used to it. They're already in the pace and then they can pick up with you.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. I think,
but there is a little bit of a drawback to that 3 second.
Yeah. The gap between 3 and 5 seconds from a viewership standpoint, I don't think is enough to change. Like, you know, I'm not leaving because there's a 5 second over a 3 second.
Right.
You know, it'll
give a guy a chance to hit that custom, put in 24 and hit bid.
Yeah.
And now I'm watching my bid.
Yeah. But 30 seconds is definitely enough time to lose people.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just
30 seconds. I want to shoot myself.
Yeah. 30 seconds is like, you know, kind of day one. Anybody that's getting into it, like, you know, your organization has to be good because you want a fast paced show. And I would recommend, doing those short counter bid times.
You know what I mean? Donnie said he did 10 in his 10 second sudden death. Yeah. He was able to move 75 hats.
Yeah.
I was going to ask him because I knew he had a big number.
Yeah, that's he was lot. Ripping them. Yeah,
yeah. Actually,
I got a box downstairs in my garage right now. That's from old Donnie.
I got a good box from Donnie too, so I appreciate that.
I'm sure I got a box somewhere that says Donnie on it. That's probably this big.
Yeah, exactly.
It's right. Probably hiding in the Jeep.
So to get to our main topic, there was
Can I ask one question to you, Stephen?
Of course.
Your set obviously went really well. Do you think that you've kind of fallen back like in love a little bit with the Whatnot game? Do you think you're going to do you think you're going to do it every so often, or like you're going to do it not as much as one a week how you were doing it in the past, but maybe more than once every, you know, however many months?
Well, I like doing whatnot. I really like the hat. I really like the raid train. I probably will definitely do every raid train. I really need to figure out how to do it at least once a month. My hat shaper sales did really well for the two nights that I was on too. And I like being able to show people how it works. I think it really helps with the sales on them when I can actually show them what I'm doing and how it works. And then the flash sale really worked pretty good. Worked pretty good too. I probably sold a total of 20 hats on the flash sale between Thursday and Friday night. The flash sale is just hard to set up because you have to go
into it's ridiculous that you can't do multiples.
Yeah, you have to go into every single item and you have to say you want to put it on flash sale. And then you have to also, if you want to be able to sell it not on flash sale, you have to click a button that says this is available all the time. And then you have to click how much the discount is, how long the flash sale is going to be when you start it. And then when you start the show, you have to click every single item that you want to be on flash sale, which is just ridiculous on whatnot's part. Why it is
That last part I didn't end up doing. I remember you were saying this. So what I did for my Tuesday show was I went like a half hour ahead of my show.
You can start them early, yeah.
Yeah, I went into there and I ran the flash sale for like 4 hours.
Right.
And then I had, when I started the show, everything in the bin was running on flash sale for the entirety of the show. As a matter of fact, I had set it for so long, it was still running when I closed the show.
Yeah, you can start them early. I have 200 hats, 200 items in the buy now. So it's still, I mean, doing one every 20 to 30 seconds, I mean, it still takes forever to put your whole store on sale.
Yeah, at that amount, yes. I mean, I'm only talking about 100 items. So.
But it works out pretty well just to tell everybody in the room, hey, if you see a hat, it's half price right now. Just let me know which one it is. And with Mary helping out, of course, she can go in and put that on half price. And it worked pretty well. But to answer your question, that is part of what put me in danger and why I got suspended. So Poshmark suspended me this week. I woke up Saturday morning. Poshmark sent me a message and it said, hey, you've been suspended from listing for a week because of the excessive listing removal policy. So at first I thought, well, maybe it was my cross-listing app, Posh cross-lister. And I think it might have had some to do with it because you can only delist and relist items that are 60 days or over is the Poshmark policy. But I go in and I start reading this policy and it says the following actions are considered abusive and not allowed. Repeatedly removing and or relisting the same items in 60 days, mass listing removals, whether manually or through automation, any action that circumvents marketplace listing policies in order to gain unfair search. So what I think it did, I think Thursday and Friday, I sold so many hats on whatnot in such a short amount of time. I think I got dinged for delisting too much stuff in a short amount of time. And so then they gave me this, they banned me for like a week. I couldn't list anything. I could still sell stuff and do whatever, but I couldn't list anything. I did end up on Wednesday. Tuesday, I sent them a nice little email like, hey, I'm sorry. I didn't realize it. It's a new policy. It only started in May. They reinstated me on Wednesday.
I'm sorry, Poshmark.
that kind of goes back to your first question, Mike. Am I going to keep doing it and putting my Poshmark account at risk? I don't know. I almost have to choose Whatnot or Poshmark at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's I agree listed. With Lynn. That's the dumbest policy I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah. But only, you only have to choose it for listed products. So if your Whatnot show is not from your listings, you won't have that problem. It'd just be more work to put together a Whatnot show. That's all.
Right. Yeah, the thing is, though, is that Steven lists everything. You know what I mean?
No,
yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, he has to do it separately just on Whatnot.
But then, I was just talking about, I'm pretty sure I probably have said this already, but I was just talking to my buddy on Tuesday, and, I went over to his office, and he has the same kind of setup that I do, and he has, like, three of those big Husky totes full of just Whatnot stuff. You know what I mean? And sometimes, you know, depending on how the sourcing goes, like sometimes it might take a couple weeks or a month or more to get enough stuff to have a Whatnot show for that category. And so I asked him, I was like, do you list any of this stuff, even if you have it for a month, instead of it just sitting here for a month, taking up, you know, room and capital, because you had to buy it, you at least can put it online, and for a month it's for sale to the entire world before you rip it on Whatnot. And he was like, no. And I do the exact same thing. You know what I mean? All of my hats are not listed. You know, at least a vast, vast majority of them are not listed. But with that being said, if you only do, you know, if I do a hat show every other month or whatever, and there's 100 hats, then, you know, there's 2 months worth of time that those things could have sold for more than likely a higher dollar amount that they're not. They're just sitting in a bin somewhere, you know, in my spot. So you would have to sit there and be like, okay, here, I'm not going to list this one. I'm not going to list this one. And, you know, be willing to not put those on your other platforms, which, you know.
Well, you are. You're prioritizing the Whatnot.
Oh, show. I guess just not listing them on Poshmark, right? Because you can list them on all the other ones, but
right. I don't know. I mean, you're definitely going to maximize your profit if you do it that way. But did you waste time with putting all that stuff up there?
Yeah, for sure you did.
Yeah.
I mean, I think so. Like think if you sold 50 hats, right? So think about the, you know, however long it takes, the hour and a half or whatever it'll take you to list those 50 hats. And then for, say, three of those to sell before you're going to delist all of them to now put them on Whatnot. You know what I mean? Like, is that, you know, I guess it just depends. Like, if that is worth your time or not. You know?
Well, that's kind of why I did this. It's almost kind of like a blended model. The only things I auctioned were just hats that weren't listed. The only thing that was in the flash sale were things that I'd already put in my store. But I gave people really good deals. Yeah. Half price on most of them were priced close to market, and half price is typically where they would go for in an auction if it happened. Yeah. So, and that's kind of was my thinking. But I don't know, Mike. I'm going to have to think about what to do. Cause I like Poshmark because it gets higher prices. And then I sell all sorts of stuff on there, like the backpack that sold the other day. And I don't know, I'm kind of, and I sell a lot of earbuds on Poshmark too.
Yeah.
I don't really want to lose that.
Yeah. Yeah. You were asking, in the group earlier this week, if we had any, if we've heard of any reasons of people getting banned or whatever. I have a pretty crazy one. There's a guy that I had met from my flea market, and he doesn't live here anymore, but he was a absolutely massive, massive seller on Whatnot. Like, you know, multi-hundred viewers in a show selling, you know, I think he did a little over a million last year. And he had garnered a gigantic following, and he did storage units. And so anyway, he ends up moving, and something happened where he had mixed up orders. And so he had shipped a pretty large quantity. It was like in the $40,000 range of mix-ups, and shipped them to different people. And remember, this guy's selling, you know, I mean, I've been in shows where he's selling, you know, this, I didn't even know the game system, but it was a super rare game system that went for like $4,000 or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, so these are the kinds of things that they're not, it wasn't, you know, $40,000 and, you know, $8 shirts. It was, you know, he's selling like some pretty insane stuff. So, but anyway, this things happened and things got mixed up or whatever. And he ended up accidentally shipping a whole bunch of stuff to different people. So Whatnot went in and refunded all of these buyers. So when he logged back onto his account or whatever to schedule the next show or whatever it was, he had a negative $40,000 balance in his Whatnot, right? And so he's like, well, what in the world? So he ends up getting a message from them and is like, and they're like, we've denied you access to your account. You have a $40,000 negative balance, so on and so forth. And his response is, you know, I'll do $100,000 shows. So he's like, I can pay this back very easily, but you got to let me run a show. You know what I mean? Like, And so that, and this was probably, I don't know, 6 months ago at this point now. I mean, it's been a good couple of months at least. And still to this day, they're not letting him back on. And which blows my mind, because I always think about it from, you know, from a Whatnot standpoint. If it's just like kind of a mid-tier seller, might be a little, it's probably pretty easy to kind of get rid of those. You know what I mean? It's not too bad. You're doing a couple $1,000 a year, 10, 20, 30 grand a year. Not too bad. But I mean, you have a guy that did $1 million or like north of $1 million on your platform last year. You know, those are going to be the top guys for the business of Whatnot as an earner as well. You know what I mean? So to like not understand that mistakes happen, and was it a big mistake? Yeah, but mistakes happen, and that you can see his analytics, and you know, he's not running shows that aren't doing $40,000 anyway, and not let him back on there, you know, to freaking make it right or whatever, blew my mind. So, yeah,
I would say I think there's more to the story.
Yeah, I mean, if there is, then there is, but.
I don't think you don't get just yanked off the platform for your first offense.
Yeah, and I don't know if there had been like prior.
It's a high dollar thing though. Yeah, but you'd think they would have reached out and at least try to talk to them before, and try to work out whatever was going on between the customers and him, and before you just automatically giving them $40,000 back for one. Yeah. And then no, charging
no, they, him. The customer always comes first.
Yeah.
But I mean, always. at that dollar amount,
you think you could resolve it somehow?
Yeah.
I don't know. So what, did he just mix up the shipping labels and end up?
Yeah. Yeah. This is from how I understand it. Yeah. It was basically a mix up of shipping labels. And so, you know, the stuff that I bought was sent to Rob, you know what I mean? And so on. See, it probably happened early in the show or early in the shipping process. So then, you know, you run that all the way down. Yeah. You know what I mean? And next thing you know, you're ripping everything out the door, and it's, you know, there's 50 orders that are one order off or whatever, you know what I mean? Hmm. And
it was probably prior to the pack and slip thing too.
Yeah, I mean, this was like, but I mean, dude, like when he was living out here, dude, he had like a huge warehouse, like a super, super sweet setup. Like, I mean, he was like absolutely murdering
it. I mean, I don't think you're a real seller till you mix one up.
Yeah.
I did it and solved the problem from Tokyo. Yeah.
I don't think I have on Whatnot.
Ask Donnie. Thank you, Donnie. Appreciate the help on that, bud.
Yeah. Oh, actually, I do remember that story. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Donnie's the man.
Yeah. Two Halloween branded Bills hats went to the wrong area.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was just as simple as I had to do. You know, I spent, reached in my pocket and made some labels.
Yeah, for sure.
Sent them out.
Yeah. Yeah, but I always, I'm like, that's the kind of stuff that in this, like in this game is, you know, it is nerve wracking because it just, even if it's not something that you intended to be malicious, you know what I mean? Yeah. And this is not just a whatnot thing. It is every selling platform top to bottom. And it's, you know, I mean that you can make a mistake, you know, and it be, and because we rely so heavily on the platforms themselves that, you know, if they take it, if they take that away from you and it happens to be your top one, you know,
classic, like,
that's a big deal.
Yeah, it is. It is nerve wracking. And Poshmark, I don't like the ones that you can't. It's hard to talk to somebody, you know. And you were talking about Whatnot's customer service.
It's hard to talk to somebody.
Nobody to talk to.
I mean, I want to talk because you cannot explain everything in an email. You can't convey all exactly what you're trying to say. Is difficult sometimes.
Yeah.
And at least let me know that I can talk to somebody and that you actually understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I don't think Poshmark. It's just all automated and whatnot. You just don't know that they even understand what you're saying because you can't get
a hold of it. Oh, I have a perfect example I got of Whatnot, right? I had, so I did one of the shows was a stickers giveaway. It got returned from the post office, undeliverable. So I sent them an email and said, hey, what do you want me to do with this? And now three times I've gotten a return email. Thanks for reaching out, and hopefully we can resolve this. You can keep it and resell it, or we'll send you a label to send it to us, and you can keep the earnings. And each time I write back, it's a giveaway for a sticker.
Yeah.
So let's get off the automation and somebody live respond to the email.
Like, I wonder, I want, like, you know, what does that cost? Like, what is, you know, eBay obviously is, you know, they're the giant, you know, they're the giant in the game. And so they have all the funds in the world. But
you know, at least you can talk to a person.
Yeah, but I just, I wonder, like, what is the cost as the business owner, as a, you know, if I was the owner of Whatnot, what is the cost to have a live support? Like, what does that cost me every month or every year, you know what I mean? And like, why is that cost so great apparently that we can't do that? It's like, dude, everybody loves this platform. There's a million and one awesome things about it. And it's like, really the biggest thing is you guys have shitty support. You have shitty support for buyers, shitty support for sellers. You know what I mean? It's like, dude, I don't want to wait 24 hours for AI to write me back. I want to get on the phone or get in a live chat with a real human being and be able to explain what the hell's going on. And I want to resolve it right now. I don't want to resolve it in 4 or 5 days, a week. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't get why that's the biggest deal. You should not have any business in the world. You should not have a massive business that's obviously doing tens of millions of dollars every year, if not more, and not have a way for your people to get answers to their questions. You know what I mean? Because, and on top of that, they have a whole guy, when anybody that's not a Whatnot seller, when you, at least it was just the almost 2 years ago when I came on, you have a guy that reaches out to you and says, hey man, you need to join this seller, you know, whatever conference thing or onboarding process, right? And you get on a live call with a real human being who's smack in the middle of America, right? Perfect English. And you go through like this 2 hour, like whole thing. So it's like, dude, you have people that do that. So like, just hire that guy and also do customer support.
Those trainers that you're talking about are actually sellers that are got hooked up to do the training. But you're right. There are real live Whatnot people because A, they do shows selling shit that's been returned to them. And B, they do shows for sellers for Q&As. Yeah. Live on Whatnot. There are real people attached to Whatnot. Back in the day, we used to have Charlie in golf. And Charlie was the kind of guy that gave me his phone number. I could call him anytime, text him, whatever. Charlie moved up the ladder down, and we had somebody else that I've never met. And Whatnot resources went out the window when he moved to another platform, another division.
Yeah.
But there are real Whatnot people that you can see.
Yeah. It's the biggest frustration.
Yeah. I would be interested to know if your guy that was 40,000 in the hole, if he ever got to actually talk to somebody.
Yeah. Which, I mean, just being as large of a seller as he was, I can't imagine that they don't have, you know, like that next tier thing for those guys. Like, I'm sure Blaze, who's, you know, obviously one of the biggest sellers in any category on the entire platform, I'm sure that guy's not sending emails. You know what I mean? I'm sure he's got a direct line of contact with somebody there that he can talk to about some issue.
People at that level. I mean, like I said, I was starting out and I had a contact. But people at that extreme level, like you're talking about Blaze and your guy, say like the Dons, the one guy that does the ridiculous amount of money in cards, that guy, I mean, they all have somebody in their Rolodex that they can pick up the phone and say, hey, dude.
Yeah.
And they come the other way as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they didn't send an email to Blazendary to suspend him. Somebody called him.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
All right, guys. Let us know any stories that you have of getting suspended. We definitely want to hear from you guys out there. Let us know in the chat or leave a comment on the YouTube video. We'd really like to hear that. Can you guys hear me okay? I know my video is
Yeah, you're good. You're good.
Okay.
Whatnot sellers. Lynn put it in the chat right there. That's one they go on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think it's time to.
Okay, Raiders. It's everybody's favorite time. It's time to play Rank It.
Okay.
Ooh, there's a juicy wood right there.
Yeah. What are we ranking this time? So we're ranking juicy ones. Is that what you said?
I'm going to put that right here and wait till afterwards.
All right. You can use only one of these tools to price your items. What are you going to use? Number one, eBay Comps, Google Lens, ChatGPT, or a similar type AI. If you could only use one of those, which one are you going to use?
Google. Because Google will bring up eBay Comps.
Google Lens?
Yes.
No.
It'll bring up eBay Comps.
It'll bring up eBay listed comps, not sold comps.
Right.
But I'm assuming that anything that comes up, I can further look into.
Dude, Rob's trying to snake and get all three in one. eBay comps all day. Listen, everybody, you can buy stuff on any platform in the entire world, and a vast, vast, vast majority of those prices that they're listing their items for are gonna be based on eBay comps. Every metric out there in the entire world is based off of eBay sold price comps. It don't matter if it's on your own private website or if it's on something else. eBay comps is the key.
I mean, down to the value
of items.
The yard sales do it.
Yes. Yeah. Like yard eBay. Yeah. Yeah. That's one thing. You don't see those, you know, those things printed out of ChatGPT saying that this baseball that's signed by Joe Schmo is worth $500, and that's why they want that for it. They got a freaking eBay it's never even an eBay comp. It's an eBay listed price for whatever the heck this item is, you know. So, yeah.
Have y'all? What if I put a number four? Has anybody out there ever used WorthPoint? I haven't.
I haven't.
You do? Is it worth, if I put that on the list, Mike, where is it?
It ranked probably third because, so it would be eBay and then it'd probably be ChatGPT because you could ask it, hey, what are these actually selling for? And then it'll probably give you a pretty good price as to what they're actually selling for, not just listed. The biggest problem with WorthPoint is you can look up a lot of stuff in there. There's a ton of information, but tons of those comps that, and they're real sold comps from every website, you know, anything on the internet, all of the auction sites and all this other stuff. The problem is that so many of those comps are old. You'll get 2013 comps and 2016 comps, and it's very rare that you get a last 90 days or, you know, even in the last year comp for whatever you're looking for. So that's probably my biggest drawback on WorthPoint itself.
It's too old?
Yeah, it's just too old. There's like they pull up a lot of a ton of, you know, decade old comps on there. And you know, I don't care what something sold for, even, you know, really even a year ago, frankly. I don't really care what it sold for.
How much is the subscription for that?
I used my buddies, so I have no idea
kind of like stealing the Netflix password.
Oh yeah, 100%. Which actually, this month is the last month that he's doing it because he got the upgraded ChatGPT. So yeah. He was like, "There's no reason to have both because, you know, ChatGPT does what WorthPoint does, but just better." So
yeah, that's what I was wondering about when I was thinking about this.
Oh, look who showed up.
There he is. Matter of fact, Cheapskate. Yeah, that's his account.
Were your ears burning?
How is WorthPoint going to evolve with this AI boom? I mean, I think most people would be dropping it. And I actually did think about that while I was thinking about this question. They would have to be able to offer some other type of service besides what they are, because you think they can almost scrape all this data and he's going to be able to know everything soon.
Because WorthPoint just does what the AI does. They just grab comps from all the depths of the internet and put it into one website, which is exactly what AI does. They just grab everything from all the depths of the internet and put it in a two paragraph thing for you to read. So I was talking to Brandon yesterday and he was like, I don't know what card it's coming out of because I don't see the charges on my card. And I'm like, well, whatever, dude, I'm still logging into that thing every so often.
I mean, it's like anything else. It's going to have to evolve its AI. It's going to have to incorporate as much AI as possible to keep it relevant.
Yeah.
What would you say, Steven?
Right now, I guess I would probably still be
eBay. Steven, you can't do all three like I did.
I guess I would probably still be eBay because I really want to see what it actually sold for. But man, as soon as AI becomes better and where I could just take pictures of stuff and not have to type anything in there, the amount of time that it can save me just to take a screenshot of something, that's why I just love Google Lens. I like it just because it'll get me in the ballpark pretty quick by just two clicks of this is what somebody else has a price for, and you're at least in the ballpark. And I don't know. I would probably be Google Lens because I probably use it 80% of the time, and I've only used eBay comps probably the other 20% of the time. And the other 20% of the time is if the Google Lens doesn't find it anywhere.
The biggest problem is that, like, you come across items out in the world and you Google Lens it because there might not be a brand name or something like that. And it comes up and the first thing that pops up is an eBay listing and the listing price is $9, right? I'm leaving it. I don't even care about what it sells for because if somebody has it listed for $9, it can't sell basically much for anymore. And then on the flip side of that coin, you take a picture of this thing and there's an eBay listing of $250. So now you're still going to go from Google Lens to eBay, to, and then you're going to copy that and you're going to paste it into the search bar, and then you're going to go to sold, and then you're going to realize that sometimes somebody's got it listed for $250, but it's selling for $11.40. You know what I mean? Right. And so it's still the same. I'm still passing on that item. But if you're going to Google Lens it, now you're probably going to grab that item because somebody's got it listed for $250, even though they're just fucking out of their mind.
If you don't take the further step.
But you can't take the further step. That's the problem.
Yes, you can. You move on to eBay after that.
No, Steven said you can't. It's Google Lens, and that's it.
You only get to use one. That's the whole exercise.
Yeah,
you've been doing this for 3 weeks, Rob.
You got to go to eBay. You have you literally have to go to eBay. There's no getting around it. You got to see what they sold for. You know what I mean? I do not care. I don't care at all about the listing unless that listing is, you know, a couple bucks, then it's an automatic pass. We got two Google Lensers, dude, and I'm down with Google Lensers, but you guys freaking, I'm on coach's side. That just doesn't make any sense to me.
I guess if it's a hat, I mean, I feel pretty good on myself of what I need to price it at anyways, no matter what it says. But yeah, if I am in totally foreign territory, I would probably want eBay. But man, the convenience of just taking a picture of something.
Yeah.
And not having to type.
Yeah. And dude, like all the stuff that you learn just from taking a picture of it, not even the price aside, but just like, you know, like
the keywords.
Like, dude, today I learned what rib knitting was. You know what I mean? And I'm like, dude, I would have never known to put that in a title for a listing if I didn't have freaking Google Lens to tell me that this specific style is ribbed knitting. You know, like
Amanda would have told you later.
For your pleasure.
100%. That's immediately what I thought too. And I go, I said, this is going to get interesting.
There we go. If you'd have Google Lens it, you'd have found it fast.
Quirky Crest. Oh, dude, sell through rate is freaking the easiest thing in the world. We can get to
End. Yeah, we'll get to it in Q&A. We'll definitely talk about sell-through rate. That's a great question. Make sure you drop your questions in because you're going to get in the giveaway for the Bucky Tumblr, which is going to be at the end as well.
Let's flash it back up there. It's coming in.
If you have a
personalized Bucky's bag, which is a keepsake.
Thing is an absolute grail.
30-ounce Freedom Tumblr. It's a Freedom Tumblr.
If you're not a member, consider doing that. It's only $1.99 a month. You're automatically in the giveaway, even if you're here or not.
Yeah,
I think it's about time for...
Did you get my balls?
I got it. Time. Try your favorite cash find. Raiders keep you informed. Raiders bolos can't be ignored. Bolo finds, bolo prize. Raiders find the bolo prize. You like that, Mike?
I can't hear it, dude, so I have no idea.
Rob likes when I leave it playing for the next 30 minutes.
Hour and a half.
And he can Mike bounce to that.
Yeah, and right. if you don't add me to the wheel, dude's rigged.
Oh, because you is that the real Mike Berg?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, will he please stand up?
Did you create an alternate account?
No, that's the only account that I have.
Okay. Who's going first?
Rob?
Go ahead.
Well, I thought you okay.
Sent him to Steven.
I'll go.
I sent him to Steven.
Okay. Then while you cool kids can freaking pull up all your stuff, I'm gonna go old school and hold up my phone. So
let's see.
So last weekend, I think I already texted the boys about these, but and I don't have any solds because I just I just got them, but this one's kind of crazy. Last weekend, I'm at the flea market and a guy is unloading this U-Haul full of a storage unit that he had bought.
More underwear?
It was vintage underwear. If you guys know, you know. And he was unloading it and he said that it was an old Jewish family that, somebody had passed away or whatever, and they didn't pay for it. So he got the storage unit. And it was a climate controlled, unit. So it was like, if somebody's got climate controlled shit, it's good shit. So he starts pulling out all of this like older women's stuff, right? And so I pick it up and I find that there's this brand called St. John, right? Not St. John Bay. It's called St. John. Yeah. And there's a couple different tiers. There's like St. John Collection, St. John Evening, Sport, and then Basic or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. And this is the key. This is the key is if it's got this lady's name on it, Mary Gray, I guess that's like in the top, kind of upper tier of this stuff. So anyway, I bought 16 full sets, and these are the most beautiful, intricate, like, elegant dresses and jackets and suit, and like women's suits. So here's a couple of the listings that I have for the ones that I got. There's like, I have a freaking, I literally have a ton of them. So
you have something listed for $450 at the top.
Yeah. Then there's like
dollars for a, like a suit.
Yeah. Then there's like, those are wrenches. Where's the other one?
Mary's giving you props.
So here's some more of the actual, suits. That one's like $375. You know what I mean? So there's all of them. Then these are like pretty average, freaking, sold prices. And I don't even have all of them listed. They've only been listed for a day and, or maybe 2 days. And, so look out for, because obviously I don't pick up a lot of, old women's clothes, but just how they were packed and like everything was super nicely packed and like, dry cleaned, everything was just beautiful. And so and the garments are so intricate. They're like, they're just so nice. And so you could just feel it. And so I just had to look it up. And all I did, because then you're in the middle of the chaos. There's, 10 people trying to pick this guy's stuff as he's unloading it. So you're trying to fight around. And so I just quickly looked up just the brand. I didn't go to Solds or anything. And I just saw a couple of the top listings were.
So you like Google three, Lensed it almost.
You basically like Google Lensed basically. It. Yeah.
Yeah.
I basically did. And I basically did. And so and the top listings were, from 500 to 150 after one scroll. So Hillary suits, yes. Yes. So those are some of the good ones. This other one isn't it, this other one is a sold. I got it from the exact same unit, from the exact same guy. I'm looking for St. John set of wrenches. Yeah, I got some wrenches up there, dude. I got this from the same guy, and it's not a crazy sold price, but it sold in like 10 minutes. But it is a 1985 like a pool inflatable. It's an alligator pool inflatable from 1985, and it was sealed in the box. The brand itself is called Wet Set. So if you look at those, the sell through rate on those is like 200%. And like I said, the sold prices aren't insane, but like that one sold for $35, in like a couple hours or whatever. So they're just really easy, quick flips. So yeah, definitely look out for St. John. They're those are like some legitimate, no bullshit, like grail pieces if you can find them. And I got I got tons of stuff. I got everything for $40 or something like that. So it was, my buy-in price.
Along the lines of, it's along the lines of when we talked about Joseph A. Bank. There's Joseph A. Bank you can buy at Kmart, and then there's Joseph A. Bank that you have to go to. Just
yeah, and we'll get to the we'll get to the sell-through rate, because the sell-through rate of the St. John's isn't great, but you know, with the price being so high, there's things that you're able to pick up. So yeah.
TNV brought up a good point here as well. The beach balls, the vintage vinyl beach balls and the actual vintage vinyl blow up inflatable stuff does really awesome. It's kind of in the same ballpark as
Gator. That bolo from TNV is the reason that I picked up that alligator.
Right.
Because I knew about the beach balls. And so I just figured it's the same time period, the same kind of, you know, style of thing. So this might be pretty good as well. So, yeah.
For sure. Yeah. Great call out, TNV. Appreciate you coming by. All right. Let's see what does Rob have?
I don't know. I forgot what I sent you.
He probably has like some, fish nets and some damn dental floss or something.
I wasn't sure what these were. If you guys know, these were a little strange.
Massage balls. The Nikin Magboy massage balls. They're the ones you rub around and heat up and you put them on you. They're magnetic.
Wait,
they're actually,
Rob.
Rob,
can you show us?
They're not.
Can you show us how you do it again?
They're not Benoit balls.
Dan, that man's got some dexterity in them fingers. I'm telling you right now.
Nice. You're the tickler.
Number one rated explicit podcast in the reselling game, right here, boys.
Y'all to realize that my wife's not on here, but yours are. So.
It took 67 minutes to get explicit, but we made it.
We made it. Number one, baby. Anyway, so these are actually from Japan as well. So anything, you know, the thing we say every week, or I say every week. If it comes from Japan, it's definitely something that people want to buy. It just is.
They're actually nice.
Older, and they have a great sell-through rate as well, which we can talk about it later. But what's our next one?
I'm sorry, Rob. What was the maker of that for anybody that's not watching? Like, if they just listen to it.
It looks like it says Nikin, but it's Nikin because you say the I is an E and the E is an A.
And that is spelled N-I-K-K-E-N for anybody that's just listening if they wanted to look it up.
Yep.
And next up.
Here we go. Some, let me see. I was trying to say this without butchering it. Kokuyo. Lou Bear is the brand. Okay. Now there's a couple sugar spoons there. And then there's also one down at the bottom. You see it's the retro pin case. But this is the young Kokuyo is the designer that makes all these things. And these are a few examples of the products. There are ridiculous prices. And these, I put these up here because these are all the kinds of things you're going to find when you're going to yard sales and people are selling stuff that they've had forever from a trip they took 20 years ago. Or if you're in those antique shops or if you're in the antique malls and stuff like that, these are the little things you're going to find laying around or in the curio cabinets that are for sale and people overlook them because it just looks like it's a spoon or something. But if you could find that name, Kokuyo, stamped on it or somewhere on the package, and that's a big seller right there.
High-end Japanese kind of collectibles? Like, are they like porcelain or are they like...
It varies. It varies on what it is.
Yeah, those are
like
cool.
The sugar spoons are probably your porcelain.
All right. Let's see what... What did I have in store this week? First, I'm a couple of bins finds. So I found this at the bins. Almost anything with Corvette on it, I just picked it up because it was Corvette. And this was like a detailing kit that came with the Corvette. I didn't even have all the detailing stuff in it. It was an empty bag, but it was a leather Corvette bag. $45 plus shipping on that one. Was really happy with that. I always pick up Corvette stuff, and I knew it because of hats, really. You find the vintage Corvette hats, and that's why. Yeah. I was like, well, I'm definitely picking that thing up.
Very nice.
So good bins fine there, $2 into 45. And another bins fine. I just found these today. I want to see if y'all know it before I pull up any comps on it.
Oh, here we go. It's a test.
Do y'all know any plushies?
Oh, they're Squishmallows.
Y'all know what these are? Yeah.
Yeah, they are Squishmallows.
Squishmallows. It's the only one I know.
I didn't have to Google lens that.
Right. Yeah. You knew that. So the Squishmallows, I hardly ever pick up toys. We were talking about the other day, but I'm trying to broaden my horizons. These were like the 20-inch versions, and they're Halloween. They sell for probably like, I'm going to guess like $30 to $40 a piece on these.
Yeah, the more unique.
Yeah, and I'm going to definitely just lot these up, and I'll probably try to sell both of them for $60 or $50 just to move them pretty quick. But it was a pretty good find right there. And trying to get more into toys, and I thought that was a pretty decent
pickup. To get into that toy category.
I'm trying. I found some Transformers too today. Okay. I don't have a picture of those, but you have to trust me. Maybe they'll be on what's sold next week.
Along that plushie line, just because I found these last weekend as well.
Yeah.
I just listed them, but Big Comfy Couch is the maker of these plushes. I guess it was a TV show back in the day, but 1995, all the sold comps for the sell-through rate on it is literally great too. All the sold comps for the pair, Lunette and Molly, are like right at $100. And like I said, the sell-through rate on them is really, really good.
I got one more for you.
No, here we go.
This Nike SB, this was a really cool. This is the only hat that I got this week, but it was $40 on this Nike SB hat. And I think a lot of people underprice things like this. This one happened to be reversible, so it was even cooler. And there is one key word that's not on here that I want everybody to know. Whenever it's gray like this, it's reflective, typically 99% of the time. Reflective is an amazing keyword on these running hats. People type that in all the time because they want the reflective ones. And then this was just a really good quality Nike SB. It was reversible too. I wish I had the picture of the other side, but
that style of hat is like super in right now as well. That like five panel lightweight style. So yep. Like even if you guys see ones that aren't necessarily Nike, there's a couple other like, you know, really good brands out there that have that same style of hat. And they're like the ones that I've either sold or looked up are like in that $40 and $50 range for sure. That style is really good too.
Seal, CIELE is another good one that makes a style like that.
Did you sell that Nike to Deb?
No.
Deb, did you buy that Nike?
Does Deb need that one? Well, it's gone now, but I got a load of hats coming in tomorrow. I can't wait. Here's your Squishmallow tag in case anybody need to know.
Yeah, that, Steven, CIELE.
Yep.
Is the brand of that seal. Yeah, those ones sell for like, dude, those are like $60, $70, $80 hats. Like, and crazy sell-through rate on eBay.
I think that's all the pictures I had for picture time.
Oh. Just one. Game over. We win.
Win in the preseason.
Dude, Brandon's cooking me, dude.
All I know is
Brandon's literally cooking me, dude.
All right, guys, if you are not in the chat, if you haven't commented, make sure you do that because it is almost time for the giveaway.
Wait.
Oh, we need
Q&A. We need to hear about your cards first, sir.
Me?
There's a note right here. Ask Steven about his cards.
What cards?
Ask Steven.
Oh, yeah, there was. Yeah. Hey, I
do.
Insider info. I definitely want to hear this.
The way he looked at Mary was so funny.
He's like, you just sold me out.
Y'all were talking about selling high dollar cards, the high dollar card seller. And I don't know if you know this, but I watch them quite a bit. I don't know if everybody else knows, but one night I was laying on the couch watching this card seller. They were doing breaks for like $3,000 to get in on this break. I mean, and they were selling like these. Yeah. And so I fell asleep. I bought into three breaks, $3,000 a piece. 6,000 went through. The last one didn't go through, but, and they were like, so Hat House, you in on this one? So we got you. Hat House, are you out there? And so finally, Mary saw the transactions go through on her phone for the credit card, and she comes downstairs yelling at me, right? Like, what the hell are you doing? Why are you buying $6,000 on whatnot? What are we doing right now? And so she wakes me up. I'm like, get into the room, and I'm like, dude, please, I'm so sorry. I accidentally swiped. I did not mean to swipe, and they canceled it for me. But
I
was sweating. I was sweating rough. I mean, I'm giving people a hard time over $10. That's why I never have a problem canceling anything for anybody ever.
I really would have liked to hear that you pulled like a $12,000 card.
Oh, yeah. I was really going down. I was like, dude, this guy just probably came up on my 20 grand.
I was
riveted
to hear what he pulled. I was like, what team did you get? What did you pull? Come on, man.
There is no way I would.
You said, I am not taking that chance.
I can't believe you fell asleep and you swiped twice.
It was a lot easier back in the day. Like, I mean, this is like 2 years ago. The swiper was not always, it was a lot easier. You almost just had to push it. But yeah, I almost lost my life that night. But,
I've heard
a lot of horror stories about falling asleep and swiping.
Really?
That's why back in the day, Thrifty Golf used to give away the thing for the back of your phone. So we could hold it and not fall asleep with it. He used to give those away.
Dude, yeah. That's literally so funny. That is absolutely so funny.
Yeah.
That's an insane story though. Jeez.
Yeah. I'm glad she was awake and saw the transactions go through, or, you know, I might have had a Trevor Lawrence 101 right now trying to find somebody to buy it. And Tired Up's the only one that buy it from me. But
that's the truth.
There you go.
That is fun. Thank you, Mary, for that entertainment.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was literally awesome.
All right. Let's check out the Q&A. Wheel.
Thank you,
Lynn. Q&A. You said we had another question earlier, Rob. Do you remember what it was?
No, Michael said it, but it was
the sell-through rate?
Yes. Question was about sell-through rates.
You want to talk about it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's for Quirky Quest Treasures. I basically have like a theory or whatever they call it, a playbook that I run by, which is 50% and above. 50%. So sell through rate is, say there's 100 listed, there's 50 sold, 50% sell through rate. It's not super hard to overcomplicate. Sometimes some of these videos you're going to watch are going to be like, well, that's really 150 and there's actually only 50. So it's less, but just take the listed and take the sold and then divide the sold by the listed. And you're going to get into the freaking, that's the sell through rate. Okay. So if you go 50% and above, that means 50% of the total inventory of that item is selling every 90 days. You want that number to be as close, if not over 100%. The closer you are to 100%, the better. So my theory on it is this, is any item that you're, and this is, this will vary based on you, but if I'm selling an item for $35 or less, and my buying cost is $5, is around $5, I want the sell-through rate to be 50% or higher. The only time that I'm breaking that cycle is if my buy-in cost is still low, but like the St. John stuff that I showed you guys, the ROI is so high on there that the sell-through rate can really be, you know, it can be very low. Because when your buying cost is so low on an item that has a potential sell, has a potential sold of, you know, say $400, and my individual cost for each of those items was like, you know, I mean, like literally like $1 or something like that. I got so many things. And so if somebody shoots me an offer for say $300 on that, then I'm going to take that 10 times out of 10 times because the sell-through rate sucks so bad on it that I can take that $150 gap between my asking and my offer price and still make an unbelievable profit. So it's the sell-through rate. This is my personal opinion. The sell-through rate will dictate how well your store does. If you are just the common go out, pick your stuff, you're not a wholesale buyer like Steven, you go out and pick your stuff and and it's for eBay. It's not for Poshmark. It's not for Depop. It's not for whatnot. If it's for eBay specifically, sell-through rate is the number one thing that of all things that you should pay attention to and really stick by it. Like really stick by it. Don't buy shit because you think it's cool or, you know, whatever. Only buy things that you know for a fact because of your research will sell within that 90-day window, and especially if you price it accordingly. If all of if the average sales price is $35, if you price that at $30, yours is going to be one of the ones that sells in those 90 days for a fact. So you know, it's very, very easy. It's the one thing that when I was learning this game, that there's so many videos on your sell-through rate, how to calculate it. And some of the guys overcomplicate it. I mean, it is literally as easy as look at the sold number, look at the listed number, divide that. Or don't even divide it. Say, how close are they together? If there's 5,000 listeds and 9 solds, you should know that this is a shitty item. You know, don't buy it. So, yeah, it's good for your store activity. It's good for everything. It's good for everything. And unless you're able to undercut the market a lot. Yeah. If you can undercut the market a lot, because your buy-in price is so low, then you can negate at least some of that sell-through rate issue. But don't buy shit to resell that people don't want. You know, it's and everybody's made the mistake. I still make the mistake sometimes because I'll be in a rush and, you know, just buy stuff. But you got to buy shit people want. And that's the best way to tell if people want it.
For sure. All right. Really appreciate everybody hanging out today. We will get to the wheel now. Here we go. Share the screen. What did I miss?
Brandon.
No. Here we go.
All right, boys. I'm freaking absolutely pumped up right now.
This is for all the buckies.
You're not on the wheel, Mike.
I'm not on the wheel, dude. This is hate. Yeah.
It has a tinted lid, by the way.
All right, are we ready?
All right.
Double rip wall it. Vacuum insulation.
Rip it. Rip it. Dude, if Logix wins, I'm going to freak out.
No.
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 Amanda! Amanda! No. Amanda, you won! Amanda! Come in here. You won! Yeah. Wait, come here.
Amanda,
come
Amanda
here.
His hat.
Just put your face in here.
Oh,
look.
Oh, my goodness.
Look. Yeah! Let's go.
Logix
totally not rigged.
Like, so close. Triple.
Hey, no change in the giveaway? No change in the giveaway?
Oh, I've said that stuff ever since we started this. If one of your wives wins, they get this hat.
Hey, I think it's only fair, frankly, that we give it another spin.
No, Amanda won. She gets the thing.
All right. I was trying to be a man of the people. Man is like, don't give away my cup. She's like, I want that, and walked out.
Congratulations, oh, May. That was awesome. Guys,
you want to make sure
for Bucky's cruise, dude. That's awesome.
I'll do it.
You put that one. If you can put that in the stash for your next one. Away.
Logic Z was so close to doing back to back. That was crazy.
The triple crown would have been crazy, dude.
Unreal. All right, guys. Everybody out there in podcast land, try to catch us live next week. We're usually either Wednesday or Thursday, where we've always been at 8 o'clock Central, 9 Eastern, but try to catch us then so you can get into the giveaway too, or you can sign up for the membership. It's only $1.99 a month. Appreciate all the members. Make sure you check the end of this video today to see where you can get in touch with the members, and we want to follow each other out there. Appreciate everybody hanging out today. Until next time, we'll talk more eBay to whatnot. See y'all. Yeah.
See you.